Vinny's back tomorrow. Absolutely great show today. Thank you so much for the good participation on both the phones and the text line at 702-365-9200. It's brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. We have a conversation with Shannon Elizabeth, the renowned actress and activist. She has her first annual charity poker tournament on July 3rd over at the Sterling Club at Turnberry Place. Make sure you go online and check it out at lvsportsnetwork.com, as well as for Shannon Elizabeth. It's going to be awesome. We'll talk to her at 9:30 about the contest, about her career, all that and more. It's Raider Nation Radio. Jesse Merrick joins us now from News 3. Oh, yeah, he covers the Raiders, but he also covers UFC, boxing, UNLV, Las Vegas Aces, NHL draft, whatever it takes. Jesse Merrick is there, and he's here with us on Monday mornings. Good morning to you, sir. Thank you for being with us, Jesse, especially when you went a chance to cover the SAC Summit, and Max Crosby was live with all those NFL players over at UNLV's practice field. What's it like to continue to watch how the SAC Summit has kind of evolved, but also how Max Crosby has taken a leadership position there?
Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, that's honestly one of my favorite off-season events we get to cover, just because you get to sit back there as a football nerd and listen to these guys really dive into the weeds, you know, on the details of rushing the passer and, you know, the different little things that they pay attention to. Something as simple as, like, when the defensive end and the D-tackle are running a stunt, the D-tackle needing to, you know, cut hard and chop at the guard's hand so that he has to follow him so the edge rusher can come right off his hip and kind of have a free rush there. Just like little things that they sit there and talk about. And so it's cool seeing that, you know, Warren Sapp was there. So like kind of getting that perspective as well. You know, both Paul Gutierrez and I were just kind of sitting there looking at our chops, listening to these guys kind of talk about that stuff. So like that's one of the funnest parts about it. But as you noted, like Max really kind of stepping into the role of taking it over, him and Cam Jordan both. You know, I've been covering the event since I've been in Vegas. And I was telling everybody when I was out there, like I remember, you know, first of all, I remember working – way back in the day, you know, I worked in Colorado. Don't hold it against me, Raider Nation. I covered the Broncos. And, you know, I remember seeing when Von Miller had his, you know, Pass Rush Summit is what he called it. And it was a small event, you know, maybe 15 guys here and there. They would go away to different places. And it wasn't some massive thing. It was one of the first, you know, deals where, like, guys all got together and kind of collaborated on stuff. And now seeing what it's turned into. I mean, there were over 45 NFL defenders there. A handful of UNLV players as well. Like, everybody just kind of working together. There's tons of tents. It's sponsored by, like, everybody in the world now, which was crazy. So it's just been really cool to see it grow and, like, to see other position groups kind of follow suit and do the same thing, you know. And so I'm excited to see what Max and Cam Jordan do moving forward. And it's clear that Max, like, has an appreciation for the history of it and also wants to continue to work and learn from the other guys around the league as well. So it's a fun event.
Isn't it amazing, Jesse, how – I was talking about this earlier in the show, that seasons are no longer like they used to be. I mean, the NFL now is truly 12 months of the year, not only for us as fans with everything going on, but for the players too.
Yeah, it really is. It's wild. You know, the off season is no longer a thing. You know, these guys maybe take, you know, a week, 2 weeks off for like a real quote-unquote vacation. You know, knowing guys like Max, he's probably still working out and doing whatever on his vacations, but – you know, look, they just don't stop. And that's kind of what you need to be able to do, you know, if you're going to be operating at the highest level, you know, especially in the NFL. You know, someone's always going to be out there working, trying to get that edge. And, you know, as you get together and these guys kind of, you know, trade secrets and whatnot about rushing and things like that, like every little minute detail is what can make a difference. You know, that's the thing in the NFL. It's like it is that, you know, cliche game of inches type of thing. But like one tiny little change can, you know, take your career to a different level. So that's why I think it is really cool seeing these guys that are at the top of their game not really resting on their laurels and realizing, like, look, this is a small window of opportunity they have to kind of be a game changer, you know, in their profession. And so seeing them continue to work is really cool and a bit inspiring too, because it's like, hey, you know, we're not the only ones that don't get an off season. You know, these guys also continue to grind and do their work as well.
Yeah, and we're speaking with Jesse Merrick from News 3. You can follow him on X at JesseNews3LV here with us on Monday. Doug Douglas, Clay Baker. When you have a defensive line now going into its third year under the tutelage of Patrick Graham, but when you noted, and you could see this up at Jesse's account on X, as he posted, like, pictures of Tyree Wilson, Malcolm Kuntz, Janarius Robinson. Yeah. How do you feel like this defensive line now is not only with the continuity, but maybe it's something that Raider Nation could expect of how their participation in the offseason is also going a long way to maybe not only be in a top 10 defensive line in the league, but maybe they could be in a top five, maybe in the top reins of what this defensive line could do in this National Football League.
No, 100%. I mean, look, like I think we all know, I mean, Malcolm Kuntz was the guy that came in, you know, undersized, had the speed. Nobody really quite knew what to expect out of him. You know, and a bit of a, I don't want to say slow start because, like, it's not like this guy was, you know, a top 10 pick or anything like that. But, like, he seems to have figured out. You saw the tools that were there. And so he's starting to turn that corner. So having the opportunity to learn and see how these other guys that are at the top of their game do it. And, like, look, he obviously learns from Max every day. But it is nice to see other guys that you're not in contact all the time to get that different view of it. So for him, that's huge. But especially for Tyree, man, I mean, look, so many people talked about just for him, even the simple thing of a get-off. And that was one thing there, that Warren Sapp was talking about, is like just how important that first step is, that that makes or breaks everything, you know. And so it seems like Tyree has figured that out. But now, like, as he continues his growth, I mean, look, we all know the frame and the tools that this kid has to work with. And he's clearly putting in the work, you know, to continue to learn and grow. I mean, he was listening intently. He was, you know, in the circle there, you know, when everybody was kind of getting together, they all kind of brought everyone together, and that's when Warren and Max and even Brian Baldinger was there. They were all kind of going through all the details on a bunch of different things, and people were kind of jumping in and adding their two cents into it. Tyree was there, you know, in that front row, really watching and taking everything in, you know. And that's the cool thing about Max Crosby is, like, yeah, he wants to be great, but he's also pulling the rest of these guys along with him. And you know, it's not like I'd imagine he's not having to work really hard to get these guys to come and learn from him. It looks like from the outside looking in that these guys, you know, are willing and want to be there and are willing to put in the work and learn and grow and realize probably what they have available to them because of the fact that you look at this D-line, like you mentioned, could be one of, if not the top units in the league, just with Max and Christian Wilkins alone. And then you go in and add in the mix that Malcolm Kuntz looks like, again, he's turned that corner, and that Tyree can be that dude. John Jenkins out overperformed on what a lot of people probably expected out of him as well. So, like, look, we can sit here and play this game of, like, oh, if they hit on this or that, they're going to be insane. But, like, there's a true possibility that they could. And, again, we saw what the defense did. We saw how different this team looks with the solid defense. If those guys continue to progress and move in the direction they have been, like, the sky really could be the limit for the Raiders, and I don't think that's some outlandish thing to say.
Jesse, how important do you think this is in building even more chemistry with that unit, and how important do you think chemistry is to a team and its final goal of winning games?
Huge. I mean, look, I know we always talk about, like, on the offensive line that it's that developmental, you know, position, and the guys really got to get a feel for each other with the communication and everything like that. And it's no different on the other side of the ball either. Again, these guys are running stunts and doing different things like that. Like, you got to know what the guy, you know, next to you is going to do and not have to think about it. Like, you have to have that instinct for it. And that's where, you know, that chemistry is built by doing things like this. And also, too, like, you work harder when you enjoy the people you're doing it with, too, you know. So it's very clear, like, these guys have a good relationship. It makes going to work more fun, just like any other person out there. Like, if you enjoy going to work, like, you're probably going to work a little harder, and, you know, and you're going to, you know, bust your butt a little bit more for the guys that are around you, you know. And so that's the thing that I think is really cool, seeing that from this group. We've heard a couple of guys talk, you know, the previous year, years past, things like that, where, like, that wasn't always the case. These guys weren't really hanging out and doing things like that away from football. Yeah. You know, and I think that's big to be able to do that. We see a lot of these guys together at the Aces games as well. So, like, they're out and about. They're doing it. It's not just, like, lip service, like, oh, we're a tight unit. You know, we'll do anything for our brothers, blah, blah, blah. It's not just that. Like, they are actually doing it and proving it. You know, so I think that's something that Raider Nation's got to be fired up about because, again, entering another year in this defense with Patrick Graham, with most of the starters coming back, like, you continue to build that continuity and the comfortability with the group around you. And then that is where you get to see things out on the field, where the communication just kind of becomes second nature because you already have that feel for them.
Follow Jesse on X at JesseNews3LV. Jesse Merrick here with us on the Morning Tailgate. What else did you think about what happened this week with the NHL draft over at the Sphere?
Yeah, so I got pulled out of town for some personal stuff. Wasn't able to actually go to the draft itself, but saw all the video and everything that came out of there. Talked to a bunch of people that were there, and it looked like it was insane. You know, that just, again, another kind of feather in the cap for Vegas as we continue to do things. And, like, the Sphere is obviously a completely different beast that, you know, I'm sure when it was being built and all that stuff, many of us, myself included, was like, oh, that's cool, like, you know, but never thought, like, oh, we'll start to see, you know, sporting events and things like that in there. Right. You know, so now I personally can't wait until September when we see the UFC go over there, because Dana White has told anybody and everybody that that is going to be the greatest sporting event ever put on. And, like, it just feels like he really believes it, which is cool. And that gets me excited because, like, UFC events are unbelievable at T-Mobile and at different venues and things like that, let alone in something like that where they have so much at their disposal. And like I said, the videos that came out of there on the draft looked pretty crazy. And I think the direct quote from Dana was that he's going to make that look like kids playing with crayons compared to what they're going to do in there. So I can't wait to see that and get my first taste of the Sphere because I still haven't actually been in there yet.
Well, and I realize now I did go to a concert there, you too, and I wanted to hate it. I must admit, I was like, you know, I don't want to like this. I don't know, just because the technology, I did like it. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Yeah. And I realized it's too small to do what the NFL normally wants to do with drafts, with the, you know, the amount of people. But my gosh, all I could think of was, my gosh, if the NFL draft ever did something here with that, it would just, you know, because let's be honest, and I'm an NHL fan, but I mean, the NHL draft, you know, they're drafting people at the time. Nobody knows who they're drafting. Right. NFL, you know, if you don't even know the person, you know, the college and you know all that kind of stuff. Can you imagine what the NFL could do with a draft there?
Oh, it would be insane. You know, again, the NFL produces such a spectacle of their draft in the way that they've done it so far, let alone somewhere that has, you know, all of that available to them, you know. And I think they're one of those leagues, not that the NHL didn't spend the money, because clearly they did, but they're one of those leagues where, like, price tag is kind of usually not an issue for them for those big off-season events. So I could imagine they'd be sitting back there just nerding out on every possibility they could have with that. And it is kind of crazy, like, when you think about it, like you said, like, you know, the NHL draft, no knock on the sport. It's a lot of these guys that people just don't really know. You're learning about them for the first time, whereas, like, in the NFL and kids coming out of college, it's people you've watched for the last, you know, 3-4 years, heard the storylines of, you know, he was a 5-star recruit coming out of college and went there, and these fan bases dive into every little detail about them. So, like, there's much more connection there as well. Pair that with everything that the Sphere is and the craziness that it's brought, it would be incredible. That's one of those ones where, like, as a fan, like, I grew up a draft nerd, so, like, as a fan, I would love to see them say, hey, this one year, I know it sucks, we're not going to be able to have the same number of people in attendance, but let's do it there just for the spectacle it's going to be and have the crowd outside and all that stuff, just so that we can see what they would do with it. And, you know, I think Vegas would welcome them back with open arms to a venue like that.
I've watched hockey for years, but I remember the first year after the Vegas Golden Knights were here and there was an NHL draft and my family here that was not really into hockey before the Golden Knights, and they were like, oh, we got to watch the draft. I go, you're not going to know anybody. And I go, half the people they're going to draft will be committed to some college or, you know, they'll be playing in some league. I go, it's not the NFL draft. I mean, the NFL draft and the NBA draft have a little bit more than, I mean, even baseball, it's kind of buried after, you know, you don't know half the time, and they might be playing single A or something. So it would be interesting to see what the NFL could do there, because – like I said, I wanted to dislike the Sphere, but it was pretty incredible, jaw-dropping.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where very rarely do you, like, live in a city where the skyline is constantly, like, rebuilt. And in Vegas, they do that, and it's like you see the Sphere. I'll never forget, I was actually on a vacation driving back into town the night that they turned it on. And I'm driving down the 15 with my mom and I in the car, and, like, we see the big eyeball that they had up there.
Yes, freaky.
And we're like, what is that? Like, the sun was starting to go down, and I'm like, what's going on over there? And we looked at each other, and we're like, this looks like something out of a horror movie. And I was like, oh, wait, it's the Sphere. They turned it on for the first time. And, like, or you're like, driving around the street, and you turn a corner, and there's, like, this big emoji face, like, looking at you. Like, it's just, it's wild. It's been there for a while now, but, like, it still doesn't quite make sense. That it's there, but it's cool because now it just kind of fits into the rest of the skyline, and it's like, oh yeah, we got the Sphere, like, it's Vegas. We just continue to, like, do crazy stuff over and over again, and you wonder, like, what the next wild thing is going to be, because somebody with more money than God is going to come in and try and be like, hey, what's the next crazy thing we can do that's going to top that? I have no idea what it is, but I'm looking forward to it.
It is. It's funny how, like, you build these venues so you could have these game-changing events over and over again, and it never gets tired. And, you know, that was kind of like the thought pattern behind building Allegiant Stadium, that now, you know, in a city of great events, now you have really something that's larger than you've ever had before for seating and for spectacle. But the Sphere is doing something special. But at the same time, could you ever imagine that a WNBA game between the Aces and the Fever that takes place tomorrow at T-Mobile Arena might indeed be the event of the summer?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. You know, when they came out here the first time over at Michelob Ultra Arena, it was a madhouse. One of the things that really, like, was just cool is not only, like, obviously we've seen the craziness with Caitlin Clark everywhere she's gone, and there were tons of people there with Caitlin Clark Fever jerseys on, but seeing the love that these people have for just like Iowa basketball in general, including Kate Martin, who plays for the Aces, like they were going nuts for her too. Like, it's just kind of cool to see how the fan base has grown. And I know it gets so overblown and there's so much talk about like, oh, the rest of the women in the NBA are hating on Caitlin Clark and all this stuff and da 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 da. Like, good, bad, whatever. Like, at least people are watching and tuning in and kind of getting a taste for it. Because the WNBA, they talk about it all the time. That, like, once you actually watch and see, because there's so many people that are kind of closed-minded that won't watch it. Once you actually sit down, watch it, and see the product, you're like, oh, wait, this is actually really cool. You know, and so that's one of the things that I think is so sweet about Caitlin Clark and the eyes that she's drawn. But also, too, with this one, when it was here in Vegas, like, Aces fans are wild. Obviously, the Fever fans now are nuts, and you're seeing these people that are flying all over the place from Iowa, things like that, with, you know, different signs and things like that, not only for Caitlin, but also for Kate Martin, who's a rookie who didn't even think she would get drafted. Like, it's just cool how many more eyes have been on the sport. And this is one of those things where, like, you know, you always sit there and it's like must-watch TV. You know, when someone like Caitlin Clark comes in, just because of the eyes that are drawn to it, you've got to tune in and watch, you know, and it just feels bigger. And obviously the players, you know, at times they're tired of, you know, talking about it because they just want to worry about themselves and their game. But, like, you can't help but get that playoff atmosphere type feel to it. And that's definitely what it's going to have in there tomorrow night, because it's going to be a packed house and it is loud. That game, again, when they were at Michelob Ultra Arena, was one of the louder atmospheres I've seen down there. And you just see the craziness of people that kind of, like, can't control themselves and are, like, running around screaming, like, ah, Caitlin, ah, like, trying to get, like, selfies and stuff with her. So, like, it's going to be crazy to see again, you know, at a different venue for sure.
It's Beatlemania comes to the WNBA. Which as somebody, it truly amazes me, and I know it does anybody who's lived here in Las Vegas for a long time, that there's so much going on in Vegas when, you know, just a couple decades ago, it was, what, boxing? I mean, boxing was the only, right? I mean, that was the only thing. And UNLV basketball. Hold on. Yeah, I should say UNLV basketball in its prime. So those two things.
People
and now.
Pitchforks already. You can't skip UNLV, man.
Right. But it's just amazing. Now you're talking almost every other week, you know, whether it's Copa America coming here, whether it's, you know, a WNBA game, whether it's some NHL draft at the Sphere, it's just nonstop. And it's, we really are the center of, in some respects, maybe I'm stretching a little bit, but in some respects, the center of not only entertainment, but the sports, all the sports world everywhere is just, you know, if they don't have something here, they want to have something here in Vegas.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's a stretch to say that. I know we're all a bit biased because we live here and we've seen it happen. And a lot of people on the outside looking in, you know, anytime I travel, I talk to people about Vegas and sports, like, they don't realize how much we have here and how much comes here. So to the outside world, maybe that is an outlandish statement. But for all of us that are here that have seen it happen, like, it's not. Like, what league, what team, what promotion, you name it, doesn't want to come to Vegas and hold an event here? Like, anybody and everybody that can is and has done it, you know? And so it's one of those things where, also, too, like, if you're going on a trip with, like, your boys and friends and whatnot, whatever, to go see a game, like, who doesn't want to go do a weekend in Vegas and catch, you know, a Knights game, a Raiders game, an Aces game, you know, if you've got the Sweet 16 out here like we did, you know, all the different events that continue to come in town. Plus, you have, as you noted, the entertainment capital of the world as well that just continues to evolve and change. So, like, it's just kind of cool because, you know, I've been out here since 2019, and a big reason why I took the job was the Raiders. Like, I'm a football nut. By now, many of you guys probably know that. And I wanted to cover the NFL again. That was something I wanted to get back into doing. And I was like, this is going to be cool, a new team coming to Vegas. Never in my wildest dreams did I expect it would be what it's become and the continuation of like teams continuing to say, hey, we're moving here, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, all the different venues that are being built. It just seems like each and every week there's something here. And I've worked in a handful of other markets, have friends that have worked in other markets around the country. In most places, there's a like quote-unquote slow period.
Yes.
In Vegas, we have like maybe like 3 days where that's actually the case, where there's not something going on, you know, because there's, again, just so many different offshoot events and things like that to continue to come to town. And so the appetite is there, not only for the local fans, but the people and the visitors that want to come and the tourism and all that. But like, there's just so many options for entertainment here. And it's been really cool to see sports now become a big part of that. And it's awesome too, because so many cities don't necessarily realize that when that opportunity is there. So like, kudos, you know, to the leaders of Vegas and everything like that, that have seen like, hey, we have an opportunity here to grow in the sports landscape as well. They've invested in it and made it happen too.
Oh, it's great stuff, Jesse, man. Thank you for coming on today. We really appreciate it. We look forward to again talking to you next time, and we'll find out a little bit more. We'll see you down at the game on Tuesday.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. Follow Jesse at JesseNews3LV, Jesse Merrick with News 3 here in Las Vegas. And, you know, here's the thing that the people in the powers that be here in Las Vegas, they project ahead to how things are going to be 20 years ahead of time better than anyone else. They understand market behavior. They understand the customers and the consumers that come to Las Vegas. And they realized over time, especially the last 20 years, that people were not gambling as much as they used to. They were gambling less, but they were still coming to town because they wanted other things. They wanted food and beverage experiences that they couldn't find anywhere else. They wanted more resort and luxury accommodations. They needed things that were going to bring in people to Las Vegas that have nothing to do with gambling. So professional sports is your best avenue for that.
And the restaurants here now, I do not get to go to many of them, but my gosh, these restaurants all over, every venue has like a world-class, it seems like, steakhouse or seafood place, and you're just like, holy mackerel.
If we
could only get our streets fixed.
Yeah. That's another thing. We just need chefs on the streets. They'd get fixed if they had that.
That's right.
But if they, if you could count how many like top-notch chefs are in Las Vegas, it's parallel to like the top cities around the world, like, you know, Paris, New York, Los Angeles, things like that. And it doesn't seem to have like any sort of expiration date on it. It's not a fad. It's now become a standard.
It truly is amazing. And I remember, having come to Vegas, I did not grow up in Vegas, but I lived here since the 90s, and I lived very close by for many years.
Yeah, we could live here for 30 years and never be called a native. You know what I mean?
Which is fine.
We're just still kind of like a part-time resident after 30 years.
My wife is a native, so I can play that card. But it's amazing that you see the growth, and just from, like we were talking about the food choices, you know, there were always a couple of very good places. Obviously, the Rat Pack had some. But now, I swear, you could go from south end of the strip to downtown and beyond, even some local spots beyond, and you're just like, you're blown away by exactly what you said. You know, there's some yet another celebrity chef is opening up something somewhere. Just amazing.
Even the buffets have chefs now, like specialty chefs at the buffet. Like it's grown to like such heavy boundaries that nobody who owns a casino or is managing one is leaving it up for chance. Everybody has to have some sort of Michelin star behind their.
I'm getting hungry, history. Clay. You're making me hungry. Let's take a break. I gotta go grab a snack.
Oh, it's so good. Shannon Elizabeth is going to join us. Her charity series of poker.org. Her big Rhino Rumble is coming this week, Wednesday, July 3rd, over at the Sterling Club at Turnberry Estates. You gotta check it out. It's absolutely awesome. Charity series of poker.org. You can register, donate, and bid. And we're going to be down there, whether she likes it or not.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to talk to her in just a few minutes about that very thing and how she gives back to the community, as well as what the grand prize is for this crazy Rhino Rumble. It's Raider Nation Radio here at 702-365-9200. Make sure you text the word resort into 702-365-9200 for your chance to win this week's summer fun, summer vacation here in Las Vegas. It's Raider Nation Radio.
More Silver and Black Talk on the Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Vinny Bonsignor.
Looks like you could use an extra hand.
Jim!
Well,
shame on you.
Yeah, shame on me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, I'm just gonna go.
Well, you have seen me. Now it's my turn to see you. Strip.
Strip?
Slowly.
Hey, welcome back here to Raider Nation Radio here on the Morning Tailgate. Clay Baker, Doug here with you. Thank you so much for being with us here. And I got to tell you, when July 4th weekend comes to Las Vegas, it's one of the biggest parties of the year. And one of the biggest bashes is taking place at the Sterling Club on July 3rd. That's at the beautiful and perfect Turnberry Place. It's the first annual Rhino Rumble Championship. It's a fantastic event where poker, raffle, prizes, and a silent auction and auction all come together with Shannon Elizabeth, one of the most recognized and beloved actresses in film and in TV. She's also a conservationist and animal activist, and she joins us now. Shannon, congratulations on making this happen, the first annual Rhino Rumble, and you're coming to Vegas. What a perfect spot.
Much. Yeah, we're really, really excited. I'm actually in Vegas right now. We just got here, and I'm so excited to make this event happen.
Now, Shannon, what a lot of people won't realize, of course, they'd recognize you from, Scary Movie, of course, American Pie. I know a movie my wife likes a lot, Love Actually. So,
great movie.
You hit everything. But what a lot of people may not know is you are a very good poker player and have won, I think I saw one place where you won over 100,000 in some poker tournament?
I used to play a lot. I used to play back in the day when, it was Doyle Brunson and all of those guys. And then I kind of got out of it for a while, and now I've gotten back into it. And it is a whole different game. I feel like I'm learning the game from scratch, but my gosh, it's fun, and it keeps your brain sharp. And I think it's just, it's so much more than about the cards. It's the players. It's the psychological aspect. So you're always thinking of strategies. And I just really do love the game. So I couldn't stay away for very long.
Clay and I plan on being there. So we'll see you July 3rd.
Yay!
Yes.
But
cool.
Can you give us, I've played in celebrity poker tournaments before and poker tournaments for charity, and I've done terrible. So can you give not only me, don't give Clay, Clay, you can't listen to this, but also our people who hopefully will be signing up, and we'll tell you how to sign up here in a minute, maybe just one little good tip.
Well, because it's a rebuy tournament, there's going to be lots of chances to rebuy and add on to your chips. And I think the best strategy is to go in and you rebuy a lot to build up the chips at your table. And then when the rebuy is off, you win them all back. And that's how you can have more chips than anyone else in the room. So, and that supports the cause as well. So just get out there and keep rebuying so your table has the most chips. And that gives you the biggest chance of winning.
I love it. It's Shannon Elizabeth here with us on Raider Nation Radio, the first annual Rhino Rumble Championship, July 3rd, Sterling Club. When you were starting off with the poker series, especially World Series of Poker, you brought up Doyle Brunson's name. I remember Amarillo Slim, and a lot of the early advent of the first poker players in that first era were a part of it.
Yeah.
The scene, you were also a major cog in that wheel. What do you remember most about that? Because I still remember then when you were playing poker and you were cashing many times, you were still donating funds towards against animal cruelty and for the environment. Talk about your mindset going into that, because you were still had this idea of like, what I'm going to do with the money, I'm not going to keep it for myself, I'm going to spread it around.
The whole reason I got into poker was to raise money for charity. My charity, even the one I have now, it was called Animal Avengers, and it was a dog and cat rescue in LA. And so back in the day, I think Bravo did Celebrity Poker Showdown. So just for going on the show and playing poker, you would win money for your charity. Mm-hmm. So you didn't even have to do well. And I had never played Texas Hold'em. And I grew up playing cards, but I'd never played this game.
Right.
So I went on the show just to raise money for my charity. And then another show came along and another event came along. And it became this kind of like wave of playing Texas Hold'em for charity. And somewhere along the way, something clicked in me. And I'm like, okay. So I get that it's not just about the cards. There's so much more going on. And I really just fell in love with the game. And that's the whole reason I got into the game. And what was really fun as well is that a lot of the poker pros were realizing a lot of the actors were wanting to learn how to play. And a lot of the poker pros wanted to act and be in that world. And so they were helping us and we were helping them. And it was just this symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. And it made it really fun because I had all of these poker pros helping me, which was just really a gift. I mean, to be with those guys, their brains are just unbelievable.
The grand prizes here, I mean, there's going to be money payouts, no doubt. But there's a poker, there's raffle, there's prizes, there's an auction. One of the grand prizes, luxury safari in Botswana and a trip to an endangered wildlife sanctuary in South Africa, which is part of your foundation, Shannon. Can you describe what that safari in Botswana is going to be like, as well as your foundational sanctuary?
Rob Barber at Golden Africa Safaris runs the most amazing premier luxury mobile tented camp.
Wow.
So every time you go out, it's different in a different location of the Okavango Delta, which is right where you want to be in Botswana. And his team will go out ahead of you and set up these enormous luxury tents. And you sleep in a king-size bed with, like, high thread count.
Wow. Sheep. Get out. What?
So it is luxury in the bush. There's but I mean, you are in the middle of nowhere, and you leave no trace behind when you leave. So they set up hot water showers for you. You have a normal running toilet that goes into the ground. And the chef, he brings in the best chef. So for me, I'm vegan, and they would make us the most amazing vegan food all day long, and then obviously meat for our friends. But you go to the back of house to see how they're doing it, and they're just doing it on an open fire. But these guys are artists. It's really like top notch. And then you can see every animal you could ever hope to see. And Rob is so good about, he's been doing it for over 20 years. So he knows these animals. He knows like their grandparents and their behaviors and where to find them. And I mean, you're right up close and personal, and we started doing wildlife photography, so we spent about 36 hours trying to get close to this one leopard that she was in a tree with her cubs, and they had a kill, but obviously she would get quite skittish when people would come around, and we spent the entire day just inching towards her, because you don't want them to be skittish around game viewers, because if they were to run because of humans in the area, they could run right into lions. So you don't want them to change their behavior. So it's actually quite a good thing in that area where there are lots of tourists that come through. Not lots, but there are tourists that come through. It's pretty remote. You don't even see other people. But you want them to not be affected when they see a human, to know that we're not a threat. They just see us and go about what they're doing. We're just there to view what they do. It was really amazing. And can I just add,
oh, sure,
with the website, it's charityseriesofpoker.org/SEF67. And that's what gets you to our page specifically for our org.
And we'll make sure and put a link up there on LVSportsNetwork.com. So we'll get that link up, cool. No problem. To get into the tournament is only $300.
Yeah, it's only $300. And it gets you $10,000 in chips. And then there's lots of chances to add on to your chip stack, to rebuy, to bulk it up, because we've got to give people those opportunities to really build their stack and to donate to the charity at the same time. So we're going to make sure that there's plenty of opportunities for people to get a big stack going. And there's lots of bounties. We have Leilani Munter coming, the race car, former race car driver. She'll be there, and she's a bounty. We have some poker pros. Melanie Wisner is coming, and Matt Stout will be there. And so we have lots of actors and poker pros and recognizable names and a few surprises that we haven't announced. So come knock everyone out and get a bounty prize for that. So there'll be 10 of us.
It should be noted that you can also just sign up right now for the silent auction and cocktail party, which will start at 5:30 July 3rd for $100. But we need to ask you this, because Clay and I plan on going. We plan on being there. We are not, I don't know if this is the right word, couture worthy. And it does say on the invitation, safari chic.
Yes.
What do we have to dress as? I don't want to stand out like an idiot, but what is the good thing for a guy to wear to this?
You can wear anything you want. You know, because we come from the world of safaris, we thought it would be fun for anybody that might have, like, a leopard print or something fun that looks like you might be on safari to dress that way. We didn't want it to be business casual. That's really boring. And
I'm
not going to put on their hoodies, you know. Like, you can wear anything you want, but I'll be dressed in my, you know, in my best cargo pants with my safari hat.
I like it. Okay, that makes sense. Good. I've got a flowery shirt, and I've got some khakis, so that would fit, is what you're saying.
Khakis. khakis are perfect. Yes, khakis work.
Bingo. And you are, of course, from Texas. We have to ask you this because we are on Raider Nation Radio. Do you have a football team? And if so, who is it?
Oh, the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. We'll let that go.
I've always been a Dallas Cowboys fan. I mean, you knew I was going to say that.
Right? Well, it was a leading question. Yeah, it was a leading question, but we were hopeful.
It was.
Well, I tell you what, if you're in town in Vegas in August, will you please come with us? We'll go to a preseason game together because finally the Cowboys will play the Raiders in a preseason game. That's the closest we can get.
Right.
Oh, wow. That would be really fun. Thank you. That'd be awesome.
We're with Shannon Elizabeth. So eventually, like, how do you assess who is good at poker and who is just posing? Can you tell that right away when you sit down?
Well, you do start to analyze everyone at the table. You may not be able to tell right away, but we were taught to start analyzing the kind of player just from how they're dressed, what they wear, and even before a hand is played. So you do start forming your thoughts. But I think the most important thing in poker is to watch every hand, even when you're not in it, because you get a lot of information about people when you're not in the hand and you can see what they're doing against someone else and you start to see their patterns. And when they show their hand, if you ever get to see their cards, that gives you the most information. And you've got to start filing it in your brain, this like bank of information on each person. And that forms how you're going to play them. So it's really a game of thinking and strategy, less about the cards and more about the people.
As a newbie, like I said, I'm terrible at poker, but I do see when I watch on TV, some people wear sunglasses. Is that a smart thing to do? Because do the eyes give away a lot?
You know what? They can give away a lot. Like people, it's funny because I wear them now mainly because I need corrected lenses. So I just put them in sunglasses. That's my little hidden trick because I can't actually read my cards without them now. But, you know, it can because people will look at the vein in your neck. They'll look at if your legs are bouncing under the table.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
If your eyes are darting around, and it's not even just what you're doing in that hand, but what somebody will do is they'll look at what you're doing when you're not in the hand. What is your basic baseline of when you're relaxed? And then they start looking at what you're doing when you're not relaxed. And maybe you do something specific when you're lying, or when you have something good and you start to really see if somebody has a pattern. Because some people, it's a very obvious pattern, and others, not so much. So, I mean, I think the more you can cover those things up, so somebody must just play you based on what they see in your patterns on the table versus, oh, there's a vein in her neck bouncing, and I think that means this. Which for me, I mean, it can mean that I'm excited because I have a big hand and I'm nervous, or it can mean I'm lying and I'm nervous, but how you differentiate that, like it could go either way. So I don't want somebody to read it and think it's one thing when it's actually the other. So I try to cover everything up now so people must just play my cards.
And that's the problem with playing with celebrities. Or it could be you're sitting across the table from Shannon Elizabeth and you've watched her in movies forever and you're just nervous that reason.
Right.
It could be absolutely anything. So, I mean, if people want to wear glasses and hide it, by all means do it. Because maybe they know they have a tell and they need to hide it. So I think whatever it takes to win, as long as you get far and you do well and you get to the end, then you're doing well. It doesn't matter, like, how you dress.
Go see Shannon Elizabeth. Play with her first annual Rhino Rumble Championship July 3rd, Sterling Club at Turnberry Place. Go online, register, donate, and bid. charityseriesofpoker.com/SEF67. Shannon, it was a real pleasure to talk with you. I can't wait to see you over at the Sterling Club.
And it's a .org, let me just say. So when you put it up, please put .org.
We'll get it all set. Don't worry. We'll fix it all.
This is bad. I'm trying to bluff here. charityseriesofpoker.org/SEF67. Thank you, Shannon, for your time. It's really a pleasure to talk with you.
You too. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see you guys.
Shannon Elizabeth, thanks again for coming on today. It was a lot of fun. We'll see you down there over at Turnberry Place over at the Sterling Club July 3rd. We'll take a break. Doug and I back with some great techs on the other side here on Raider Nation Radio. All right, thanks for being with us here on the Morning Tailgate Raider Nation Radio. Breaking news coming out of the NHL for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, it looks like Jonathan Marchessault has signed a 5-year deal with the Nashville Predators. Alec Martinez is going to Chicago on a 1-year deal. Ooh. And one of my favorite Golden Knight players, William Carrier, is going to Carolina. So today, of course, is the first day of free agency where you know, it's all going to happen this morning. So there's two original misfits there with Carrier and Marcia. So
there's going to be tears in the eyes of certain people in this building of how much they love the original misfits.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So Carlson is perhaps the last of the original team, right?
At the top of my still around? Yeah, that's all I can remember. Luckily, yeah. My wife was pretty smart. She chose Carlson as her favorite player since the beginning, so she'll be walking around happy still today.
Yeah, she'll be above the fray. And from Raider Jay in Monterey, he texted in earlier to 702-365-9200. He says, I like Doug's perspective. When we were talking about the SAC summit and how defensive line is getting stronger for the Raiders, he says, he's right. Doug's right. The DBs will just have to cover for a shorter period of time. And when the DB knows that the D-line is going to eat, they can be super aggressive and get to another level. And he gave you a name for the wide receiver summit.
Oh, what is it?
Catcher's Crucible.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's got the alliteration. That's a winner.
Thank you, Raider Jay in Monterey. Very nicely done. Thanks to Shannon Elizabeth, Jesse Merrick, as well as TC Martin. It can all be seen on and heard on our podcast page at lvsportsnetwork.com. Doug, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Vinny back tomorrow, back from New York.
Vinny's back tomorrow. I'm to Raider Nation of Radio. JT the Brick, Q Myers from noon to 5 today. Keep it right here on R&R 920. See you tomorrow.